Hello, and welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the podcast from Acadia, where we take the time to get under the skin of the risk, margin, and collateral industry and present some topical insights on where we see the future of this hugely important industry. Today, we welcome Scott Sobolewski, head of our quant services business, and we're going to talk a little bit about open source and how it's impacted the financial services industry. So, what is open source? Maybe let's just go all the way back to basics, really set the tone for what we're going to talk about. What is open source and what are some of the big achievements that it's driven in the industry, particularly in the financial services world?
Yeah, I think even outside of finance, open source has had a huge beneficial impact on technology growth over the last several decades. Some words that come to mind when I think of generic open source software: enhanced transparency, obviously cost efficiency, as the majority of those open source tools are provided entirely for free, community-led development, and a common set of shared best practices, almost an implicit set of checks and balances on that software as it's being used by many, many different users and being contributed back, hopefully, by that same set of users. And lastly, it may not always solve 100% of each individual's specific problem or specific use case, but it does provide often the basic foundational building blocks that prevents the need to independently recreate the wheel each time somebody wants to deploy or improve a new set of software.
And I think when someone says open source, I think everyone intrinsically just immediately thinks Linux. It's like a knockover in the brain. You go open source Linux, that's the next thing you think about. I remember when I was at university and doing my PhD, I had to work on Linux boxes, and it was this big sort of jump over and, oh my God, how are we going to do this? I mean, I think that's different now, right? I mean, the maturity of that kind of software has really, really changed.
Yeah. And it's funny you bring up Linux. From an Acadia perspective, our open source toolkit, the Open Source Risk Engine, we are aspiring to be the Red Hat of the financial risk community. And our version of Linux is what we call the Open Source Risk Engine. And just as with Linux, it was freely provided by Red Hat, and there were bespoke or unique implementations or operating systems that were built on top. And I often think of ORE, our open source risk engine, as the car engine, and some of these additional layers as the frame or body of the vehicle that can be customized or tailored to individual client use cases. Stuart, from your perspective as a previous Linux user, if you want to try to draw a parallel into the financial and financial risk space, how do large banks or other software development communities deploy or use Linux, and how does it add efficiencies to their internal software builds?
So I think that flexibility is really key, right, around how you can use Linux. I mean, when I was a user of Linux, it all came on a CD and you still had to install it. It was really back in the olden days. But nowadays, I mean, when you look at how things are Dockerized, how things are containerized, and the operating system is embedded inside that. Now, if that was an at-cost operating system, that causes huge issues of licensing, of challenges, of enterprise licenses you need. The flexibility to be able to develop, deploy on cloud, and accelerate that technical journey is just fantastic. You open up all kinds of opportunities for taking it forward without having to worry about, I wonder if I'm licensed to use this piece of software here, or here, or here,
yeah,
and I can get started quick, because I don't need a license, and I can see if it works, and if it builds, then I've got more choices down the line as to how I use that.
And we mentioned open source software being freely available. I think I remember Red Hat was acquired for over $40 billion. So there must have been some sort of commercial element to their sponsorship of that open source project. Could you, from your perspective, sort of just describe how Red Hat had their commercial model centered around that open source software in terms of how they would have... Yeah. Provided commercial support or enterprise support to commercial users?
I think it takes a huge amount of vision for a business like that to see where the industry was going to go. I mean, they were 100% right. You know, that vision that they had, that people would eventually need to pay them to provide that service was valid and has been validated probably 10 times over. So when you look at how a bank runs, banks have to have support for the software that they're running. You can't just run a critical infrastructure service on the back of no support contract on your end. So you either need to be able to support it yourself, or you need to have someone who can support it for you. Now, it doesn't make sense for every bank in the world to have a core Linux development team who can support their Linux distribution. It makes sense for that to be inside one vendor who can provide support out to them on a relatively traditional software basis,
yep.
But give them the flexibility to then take that into production and use that for critical purposes, knowing they can fall back on the support model.
And that's really why we're gathered here today, to try to make the market aware that for the first time, Acadia has formalized a enterprise and commercial support model for our open source toolkit, the Open Source Risk Engine.
Yeah, so we've said Open Source Risk Engine a few times. I don't think we've defined what it is. So why don't we go back to understand, you know, what is the Open Source Risk Engine? Kind of what capabilities does it cover? Maybe what were its origins?
Yeah.
And then we can talk about how we're going to take that forward and enable firms to use it more.
So its origins were primarily in the derivatives pricing and risk management space. So it had evolved on top of another legacy open source risk project, Quantlib, which some listeners or viewers may be a bit more familiar with. Our original founding partners at the predecessor company to Acadia, they were users of Quantlib and contributors and extenders of Quantlib. At the time, it was just a pricing library for derivatives, but they needed for their internal job functions a risk simulation layer to make counterparty credit risk PFE calculations or Monte Carlo simulations for value at risk calculations in the market risk space, or a bump and revaluation layer for market risk sensitivities. And all of that was eventually built on top of what had existed in the legacy Quantlib open source project. And over the last 10 to 15 years, those contributions from our founding partners have developed into a standalone risk and pricing project that we now call and support as the Open Source Risk Engine.
So maybe, I mean, we talked a bit about the flexibility. How does that flexibility translate into this use case? So why is that flexibility of open source impactful and meaningful to people who want to use OOE, and what does it enable them to do?
Yeah, it's a significant cost savings mechanism for clients who need internal risk models and pricing models to comply with financial regulations for regulatory capital or regulatory margin requirements in the wake of the 2008-2009 financial crisis. So that was really all of that additional regulation and all of that additional attention from the financial community into the risk management space. That was really the genesis and spark that led to the development and investment, continued investment from not only Acadia and its predecessor companies, but also our clients over the last 10 or 15 years as users of the Open Source Risk Engine.
Yeah, and then we're talking about really critical processes. You know, as a bank, you have to get those processes done 9 a.m. every day. Numbers have got to go to the regulator, otherwise bad things happen. Maybe there's other use cases as well, though, right? I mean, for instance, model validation. And I think that's where maybe some of the flexibility plays in, that you've got that choice to take it, use it, not use it for a while, use it again. I mean, how, model validation with OOE, does that... is that a big deal?
That community-led development that I spoke to earlier, just from a generic open source perspective, the Open Source Risk Engine has really been a huge benefiter of the very complex use cases and the complex consulting and other projects we've had with the most complex and largest banks in the world. They generally have to make the most significant investment into that risk architecture. And to the extent that they're also users and believers in ORE, all of that complex, or the majority of that complex investment, has made its way back into the open source realm. So even smaller to medium-sized institutions that may not have those same complex requirements, they can get themselves as far up that spectrum of complexity as they want to. So it really also, that flexibility element allows as much sophistication as not only banks, but buy-side hedge funds, asset managers who want to be more precise in the way that they manage their counterparty credit risk exposures to the dealers, or the way that they want to allocate VAR to individual desks or individual portfolios, just as banks are forced to do from an FRTB market risk regulatory perspective. So that flexibility and customization, the particular use case that you're referring to in the benchmarking or model validation space, these are out-of-the-box pricing and risk models that are battle-tested, that have won and achieved regulatory approvals in all of the advanced regulatory jurisdictions globally. So even if a client of ours, a bank or a hedge fund, thinks that they have a better solution, a more advanced model that gives them an edge in the market, often there is a governance or risk management requirement that that proprietary model or that alternative vendor model that they may be using is benchmarked and validated against a completely separate implementation. And that's really where, you know, rather than having those validation teams or those governance teams or audit teams recreate a parallel model from scratch, they can often find what they need inside our open source toolkit.
Mm. And I think when you look at, what amazes me is the fact we don't necessarily know who all of our users are. which is a strange place to be sometimes as a what you think of as a traditional software developer. But certainly we find new use cases, we find new users who've taken the software and done interesting things with it, which is inspiring,
right? Yeah.
For us, in terms of being able to look and see what's possible and to be able to see how different people have used that in that flexible way. But then when you go on to the capital calculation or the risk calculation use cases you talked about, I think that's for me where it changes into a critical process. And then you need that support we talked about. The same as banks needed support for Linux through Red Hat, they need support to know if it fails or when oil prices go negative or whatever other industry, you know, thing happens next week that we didn't expect to happen last week. Yeah. You've got someone that you can rely on, depend on, to pick up the pieces, fix the software, and push it back into production for you.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about how we're trying to bring that support model to the industry and enable more use cases of ROE and standardize that a little bit?
Yeah. The cool thing in terms of Acadia at its core, if you're not previously familiar with Acadia, the primary business model is as a SaaS risk and margin calculation provider to the industry. And if you're not already aware, ORE is operating under the hood at Acadia for all of the risk services that we offer to the market in terms of sensitivity calculation or initial margin back testing. So we've, over the last 5 or 6 years in the middle to last phases of the global UMR regulation, we've been able to prove the ORE use case across hundreds of clients who are our SaaS clients. And all of them, or the majority of them, have had validation requirements and benchmarking requirements as users of Acadia and regulated entities of Acadia. And so we've gotten, you know, nearly a decade of feedback on our valuation methodologies and our risk methodologies, and harvested all of that feedback from those hundreds of users back into our open source risk engine. So we have quite a bit of confidence that we are at a market leading position, and we are giving away that functionality entirely for free to the extent that our clients and our users recognize the vast potential in ORE beyond just the initial margin space or margin space that Acadia is most known for. That's really where our commercial support model has developed, to support those clients with bug fixes or on-demand support based on issues or severity levels. And often having that support is critical from an IT and risk management perspective of our clients. You know, it could be the best piece of software kit, and it could be entirely 100% free. It still will not pass IT muster because their rules, their requirements require an on-demand support access to the creators of that software.
I remember the day oil went negative, and I was involved with a commodity risk system at the time, and I remember a few of us sat, stood looking at each other, and it happened so fast.
Yeah,
oil went from a decent price to negative in a very short space of time, and said, yep, there's a lot of people who've woken up this morning without a VAR.
Yeah.
Because no one saw that coming,
yep.
Right? And that's when you need that support service that can kick in, software development experts who can release a patch specifically for that fix,
yep,
quickly to a lot of people.
Yeah, severity one issue likely. Yep. You need response times within a matter of minutes, right, to meet certain beginning of day or end of day regulatory requirements on reporting. And that is the exact style of support model that Acadia is now rolling out for the very first time to start the year. And we have supported our clients commercially in the past through bespoke consulting projects. But we really want to make it a bit more standardized and unified across the industry, and make it very obvious the not only the analytics proposition, but the cost-benefit proposition. Now, that commercial support model comes with money out the door from our clients to achieve that on-demand access to our quants and our developers, but we know it's still orders of magnitude lower than what our clients have historically paid to legacy vendor systems or to internal quant, armies of internal quant teams who are developing these and maintaining these models from scratch.
Yeah. So do you see this as being the sum total? That's the way that the future of kind of Acadia and ORE will be, that we'll have large installed systems supported remotely? Is that where you think the future is? Or do you think there's a middle ground where we'll do more than one thing around how we use ORE?
I think Acadia will still continue to operate primarily as a SaaS business model, where we look to identify the most prevalent and most widespread risk use cases that we can deploy very easily for our clients on a hosted daily managed service, where the market data issues and the trade management, portfolio management, the reconciliation issues, that's all managed on an outsourced basis. And that provides centrally, generally, the most cost-efficient model for our clients. To the extent that clients have unique requirements, unique regulatory requirements, or maybe more advanced regulatory requirements in different aspects of risk management that Acadia doesn't see enough consensus to build a SaaS model behind, that's really where ORE comes into play as the most cost-efficient use case for them to deploy locally and maintain a increased ownership and extensibility around that local deployment.
I mean, I again, you look at analogies across the rest of the open source world, look at software like Kafka, like Redis, these incredibly fast in-memory technologies, and you can install and do fantastic things with them. But the majority of use cases, people buy them by subscription from cloud vendors where they run as a managed service.
Yeah.
And I think we agree that, you know, there will always be a big substantial part of the user base who want that. Just please give it to me. Please deal with all the hard stuff and please run it and have it there for 9 a.m.
Yep.
And then there'll be those guys who say, I want to take this and I want to extend it and I want to go to the moon and I want to do some incredible
things.
And
I know you and I are working very hard to extend our risk roadmap, and please call up Stuart. He'll leave his phone number at the end of the podcast. Ask him about our roadmap on a SaaS and hosted services basis. But inevitably, there will always be things that fall between that managed services, fall between the cracks of what's eligible to be outsourced or what is where there's appetite to want to outsource in a managed service. And that's really where we can help our clients determine and make it an easier cost proposition for them to determine what should be owned internally versus what's most efficient to outsource.
That's fantastic. Scott, thank you. And thank you for coming to join us on the podcast today. I think it's been great and a great sort of introduction to open source and what Acadia is trying to do to bring that into the financial services industry as well, and bring some of those lessons and capabilities with us.
Yeah, and our open source project is completely managed separately from our Acadia website. So opensourcerisk.org, if you want to go check it out. We have tons of documentation. We have a YouTube channel where we've authored tutorials to make it as easy for clients to get started installing and using and understanding ORE a lot better. So opensourcerisk.org.
Thank you for listening to Ahead of the Curve. We'd love to know your thoughts, so please do get in touch, leave comments, and reach out. You can find out more about what we talked about today from acadia.inc. So until next time, thank you.